Our first lesson for this morning comes from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The Israelites had failed to drive all of the Canaanites from their land in a previous battle. Thus, the Canaanites have amassed a mighty army against the Israelites. God chose Deborah to advise Barak about an upcoming battle. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Cana, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his armory was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth-hagon. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak of the Abinom from Kadesh and Naphtali and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribes of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you at the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him unto your hand." The word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This passage speaks about the second coming of Christ. Paul warns the Thessalonians to be prepared at all times for Christ's return. In the meantime, he advises them to encourage and support each other. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of light, and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing." The word of the Lord.
The third lesson, the gospel lesson, is from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. This is Jesus speaking. "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? And then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return you would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. For as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The context for this parable is it's one of three that Jesus is telling this last week before he is crucified. And all three of them, in a way, talk about the last days when judgment will be coming. Last week, we looked at the first one, and it was the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, where the bridesmaids were waiting for the groom's appearance, and they had their oil lamps, and five of them were wise, and they had brought along extra oil in case they needed it, and five were foolish, and they did not carry any extra oil, and the groom was delayed, and the ones that were foolish were running out of the oil, and they were asking for more, but those who were wise and had brought some didn't have enough to share, and so the five foolish ones had to run off and buy some oil, and they missed the wedding. Then we have this week the parable of the talents that we'll be talking about. And then next week we'll have the third one, which is the parable of the sheep and the goats, where at the final judgment, the king is separating the sheep from the goats, the sheep being the ones who took care of the poor, who fed the hungry, who clothed the naked, who visited the sick and cared for the sick and visited the prisoners. And the goats are the ones that did not do those things. Because in our doing these things, we see Jesus. And we find Jesus. But we want to look at this parable today. And there are a couple of three things that stood out to me right away as I started my study on this. The first one is a talent is a sum of money. And it's a large sum of money. It's like 15 years' wages for the common worker. So the one that had five talents, he had 75 years' worth of wages for the common worker. A large amount of money. Even the slave that got the one talent, that was 15 years. So they're dealing with a large sum of money. And the second thing that stood out to me was they weren't given any instructions. We're not told that the master said, all right, here's this talent. I want you to go and do blah, blah, blah with it. We're not told. No instructions. And then the third thing that stood out was that he gave according to their abilities. The master knew these who he was entrusting the money with. He knew their capabilities and what they were capable of doing. And he wasn't like throwing them out into the deep end of the pool without them knowing how to swim. So they should have been able to handle what they had. So those things stood out to me. Now, we're not told names of these three slaves, so I've given them names. 5, 2, and 1. Not very original, but they do help us to keep them separated. And 5 and 2 took the talents that were given to them and multiplied them, doubled it. Now, I suspect in the days of Jesus, or much like the days of today, that it's not that easy to go and double your investment. And that in order to do so, you have to take some risk. And I suspect they did. They went out and they took risks. But those risks paid off, and they doubled what they had. Whereas one, he was afraid. And instead of investing his talent, he buried it. Burying it was the safest thing you could do. They didn't have really banks like we have today. And to keep it safe from robbers or the con artist or whatever, you go and you bury it under the ground. And as long as you remembered where it was, and I don't think you'd forget where you buried 15 years worth of money, wages, it's safe. But then comes the day of reckoning. And the three come to before the master to say what they had done. And the five comes up to the master and says, "You gave me 5 talents, I've doubled it, here are your 10 talents. And the master says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with what I've given you, and now you will share in my joy." Same with two. He comes, says, "Here are the 2 talents you gave me, and here are 2 more. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful with a little, you will be entrusted with more. Come and enjoy enter into the joy of my master, of your master." And then there's one. And one comes up, and he starts off, he basically is, I think, insulting the master. "I know that you are harsh, and you reap where you have not sown, and all these things. And so I was afraid. I didn't want to lose what you gave me. So I buried it. Keep it safe. And now here it is. Here is the talent that you entrusted to me." And the master says, "You wicked slave. You know that I don't reap where I've sown and all these things. You should have at least gone and invested it where you could have with the bank, so you could have gotten some interest on it. But because you didn't, you'll go where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Take away that talent from him and give it to the one who had 10. The one who sees the master as harsh was afraid take risks. And I think that's true for us. When we see God as being harsh and judgmental, we want to play it safe. We don't want to take risk. And we hold back. We don't have any indication that 5 and 2 saw the master as harsh. And so they took what they had and they doubled it. I've often wondered what would have happened if one of those slaves had taken the talent, taken the risk, and lost it. And when he had to come before the master, he said, "That talent you gave me, well, my cousin Vinny, he told me of a stock. I can't miss stock. And I went for it. Well, it was a missed stock. I lost it all." Or he comes before the masters and said, "I came up with this idea of a business. And we developed a business plan, and everybody agreed it was a wonderful business plan. We had a great product. We were all ready to go. And then..." Whatever, fill in the blank for the excuse, a harsh winter, a tough summer, unseen competition, whatever. "But I lost it all." How would the master have responded to that? I tend to think the master would have responded more favorably to the one who took the risk and failed than to the one who buried the talent. I remember my days in Philadelphia at an inner city church, and they were at a place where they had no choice but to take risk. They were in decline. They had lost touch with their community. And so we blessed their hearts. They were willing to take on this young pastor who came up with crazy ideas. And they were willing to run with those ideas. And some of them actually worked. But some of them were cosmic failures. But I think when we stand before God, I think God will say to us at that time, we were good and faithful servants. Because we took what we had and we tried to multiply it. We were willing to take risk and to see what might happen. This parable is often used as a stewardship message for good reason. It talks about money and how and being good investors of that money. And we've kind of expanded it to include other things like our talents being what we are able good at doing and gifts that we might have. We can see it as our experiences that we bring to the table. We see it as things that we own and all these things. We bring all of this to the table, and that's good. But I think we also need to see it as more than just individuals. We need to see it as a church, that God has given us talents as a church. We have unique individuals who make up our church, who have various gifts and talents and abilities, who have various amounts of income and stability in their lives. And we need to take these things and use them for the purposes of God. We need, as a church, to invest the talents that God has given us. And I believe that means taking risk, stepping out in faith, and believing that God wants to do great things through us. Now, this year, our session has been seeking to evaluate who we are and what our talents are that we have to invest, and what we think God is leading us to do. And I know many of you are curious as to what progress have we made? Where are we at in this? And are we going to keep the congregation informed? Are we going to ask for the congregation's input? And to all of these, I would say yes. We do hope to do these things. And we have been making great progress. We have been looking at the things that we do. And we've made some changes. And we've kept some things the same. And we're working on really understanding who we are, what talents that we have that we bring to the table, and then where do we go from there? And we're making progress, like I said. We're not there yet. But we will keep you informed, and we will seek your input. And I believe that God wants us to do some great things. I think session's being very deliberate in its work, but it's also wanting to make the right decisions. We want to invest our talents wisely. And so we seek to do these things. And we seek your prayers as we do these things. And as we determine these matters, sometime in the early next year, we'll start determining what strategies we need to take so that we are investing the talents that God has given us. My hope and my prayer is in these matters, we will aim big. that we will take risk, that we will do what we have to have God empowering us to do, that we can't do these things on our own, but we need the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish these things. I think that's what, when Jesus told this parable to his disciples, he was telling them, I am empowering you with these talents. I'm giving you the words of salvation. I'm giving you the kingdom of God to take and to share with the world. Go and use your talents. Invest your talents so that you might stand before God and hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's my hope as we seek to be God's people in this place and at this time, that when it's all said and done, we stand before God and God says, well done, my good and faithful servants. Let's pray. Lord, do be with us as a church. Lead and guide us in the directions we need to go. We want to be faithful servants. We want to invest the talents that you've given us so that they might double, perhaps even triple or more. We pray that we would be faithful in serving you, in proclaiming your good news, in working about for your kingdom. So guide us in these matters. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.